This is TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio.
This is the one they're talking about.
TalkZone.com.
Now, the Wild About Pets radio show, the place to learn something new about household pets and wild animals. Here's your host, educator and naturalist, Susan Frank.
Hello, and welcome to Wild About Pets. This is the place we talk about everything concerning pets or wild animals. Today, we will have the chance to speak about both. In order to make your listening experience more enjoyable, I have a companion website that allows you to see photographs of the animals we're talking about on this show. So if you want to look at pictures while you are listening, you will find these on my website, wildaboutpets.net. It's easy to get to the page of photos. Just click the purple Look While You Listen button that you see on my homepage if you are on TalkZone. If you are on my website, wildaboutpets.net, on the homepage, just click the Look While You Listen menu button. Perhaps you have just adopted an adult dog from a rescue shelter and are finding that your new pet has some troubling habits and seems not to have been trained very well. Or maybe your beloved older pet is exhibiting uncharacteristic behaviors that are becoming a real problem. Are you wondering where these issues are coming from and if there is anything that can be done, given your dog is older now and you've always heard you can't teach an old dog new tricks? My guest today is David Taylor, the author of Old Dog, New Tricks, Understanding and Retraining Older and Rescued Dogs, and he will help us make sense of what may be occurring in our older beloved pets that's causing some of these behaviors, and that with just a little bit more patience and understanding from us, we can enact change. Welcome, Dr. Taylor. I'm thrilled to have you on the show today.
Thank you so much. It's great to hear you.
I'd like to tell everyone a little bit more about David Taylor. He is speaking today from outside of London, England, and he is a veterinarian, a fellow of the Royal College of Veterinary Surgeons, and a fellow of the Zoological Society of London. In 1969, he founded the International Zoo Veterinary Group, and through this has traveled the world, treating all animals from giant pandas to Komodo dragons. He is a prolific writer, having written many guides about the care of dogs, cats, and wild animals. Besides talking about his book, Old Dog, New Tricks, I will be asking him today later in the show to share some of his stories about what it's like healing sick dolphins and tigers, just to name a few. I have a number of photos on my website that go along with what we will be talking about. So if you'd like to look at the photos while listening, remember, just click that purple Look While You Listen button on my TalkZone homepage, and we will be taking phone calls so you can ask Dr. Taylor questions, and those lines will be open. Today is March 13th, and the phone number that you'll want to call is 888-463-6748. Well, let's get to it. Dr. Taylor, let's say an individual or a family has just brought home a new adult dog from a rescue organization. How would you advise this new dog to be introduced to the existing pets?
Well, the first thing to realize is that he's coming into a new pack of animals. And when I say pack of animals, you, the human beings, are part of the pack. And any other animals, the cat, the dog that may be in your household, are other members of the pack. And so you've got to be very careful in doing it. Now, when you do it, and you have to realize that the older, and particularly the canine residents of your pack, mm-hmm. particularly male dogs, can resent, understandably, the presence of a new animal. On the other hand, the newcomer, if it's a dominant, domineering type, may immediately challenge the incumbent animal. However, your job is to watch all the animals very carefully for at least a week, and you must be even-handed You've got to give equal praise and attention to the incumbents and the new arrivals. You've got to keep their feeding places separated so they can not compete for grub. And you've also got to arrange the socialising of the animals. And you, your job is to act as the pack leader. So it's far better for you to get the socialising started by going out for walks with the animals on the leash or leashes, rather than playing games with balls and so on, where the dogs may have to compete and might end up quarrelling over questions of dominance.
Sure, and I would suppose that by walking the dogs initially, you're already starting to establish some of that retraining or how you want walks conducted. Isn't that correct?
Absolutely. You, of course, you don't know, you may not know exactly how the dog has been handled in the past. And certainly, it is so important that you exercise the new animal and the incumbent animal as often as you can. Ideally, both should be on leashes, allowing them to be controlled, and, you know, take them to the local open spaces, the park, and then later try them at home. But of course, again, when eventually you mix them together to do things in the house, remove anything that might cause competition and jealousy. You know, toys,
mm-hmm.
beds, yeah.
Those are great tips. Are there some other important things an owner needs to be mindful about to help that new adopted dog make a smooth transition into the home, aside from, you know, meeting some of the pets? Perhaps there are no pets already in the house. So again, what can an owner do to help that smooth transition?
One of the most important things right at the very beginning, or before the beginning really, is to find out what you can about the dog's past history. Previous owners or the rescue center, the dog's home, talk to them, find out if you have any information about the dog and its past life, and always make sure that you have the animal checked out right at the beginning by the veterinarian to see whether or not it is fully fit and if there are ever any existing physical conditions.
So it sounds like you're saying don't just accept whatever maybe the center that you adopted the dog from, whatever their superficial information is. Try and dig a little bit further and ask some more probing questions to try and get more information about the dog.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, that is good advice. In your book, Dr. Taylor, you mention that there are medical conditions that often lie at the roots of many of unwelcome behaviors we see in the older dogs. And, of course, this is the heart of your book that I so want to talk about today. What are some of those conditions, and what behaviors can they give rise to? Let's talk through a few of these.
Well, there are quite a number.
Yes, there are. I know that. So I'm gonna trust that you will pick some of the ones you most want to discuss.
Well, I mean, there can be all sorts of things. As an animal gets older, there can be troubles with the cardiovascular system, with the heart and blood vessels, so that it gets out of breath, that it can't exercise as easily. There are problems with the skeletal system, with the joints. Walking isn't as good, and there can be problems with the digestive system, with the liver, which means that the animal doesn't handle the food it takes in the same way, so that it might have trouble in the alimentary canal. It may need to pass feces, droppings, more often or less often. It may have problems with walking, so that it feels not as easy for it to go out and pass water, so that it is more likely, possibly, to soil in the house. And then, of course, is the big problem with the older dog of cognitive dysfunction, so-called CCD, canine cognitive dysfunction, which is really the same thing as Alzheimer's disease in dogs, where the animal's brain develops the same changes in pathologically as a human being with Alzheimer's does, and they become different in the sense that they become less mindful. They start to sleep more. They forget things. They wander for no good reason. They lose themselves. All those things. And particularly if you get a combination of these, Alzheimer's and arthritis and heart, and of course there are other things like fading sight, fading hearing, deafness, blindness, or semi-blindness. All these things, either singly or in combination, can produce effects which you will see.
And what I was struck with, though, is as dog owners, I mean, we know our beloved pets are getting older, but I don't think that people commonly understand the connection that, you know, we're seeing some of these effects of aging. And then we see these behaviors that are like, what happened? My dog never used to do this before. But I think, Doctor, there's this disconnect in our minds. We don't put them together. And I think that's one of the great values of your book, that you bring that to light so that we can start associating, oh, maybe this behavior isn't, my dog is just kind of, you know, being upset now or troublesome. There's a reason behind it.
You're absolutely right, and that people tend to forget or don't realize that, guess what? Dogs, cats, other animals get older. And just as they say, oh, well, you know, my friend, the human being, member of the family, whatever, he's getting older now and he's starting to forget and he's this, that. The same thing happens to your beloved pet.
Mm-hmm.
And these changes have to be recognized, understood, and accommodated. And so if your dog, or indeed the cat, because these changes, we now realize, when I said canine Alzheimer's, there's also, we realize in cats, a type of feline Alzheimer's.
Oh.
And again, they start to become careless, forgetful, wandering, not recognizing, and so on. We have got to give them the same respect and recognition of their frailty that we would give to our to human beings, or we would hope to get when we get old, would be given to us.
Definitely. And there's a picture, number 17, that refers to some of the idea that dogs can have this cognitive dysfunction. And you mention a case history of a dog by the name of Josh, who was that German Shepherd.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about Josh and what you found helped Josh?
Well, Josh, God bless him, was a lovely dog. And he developed Alzheimer's, as you might say, or cognitive dysfunction, as you tend to take it, and wandered, became forgetful, became rather neglectful of his of himself,
mm-hmm.
and generally a different dog from what he'd been when he was younger. He was a lovely. I've been looking after him for many years, and was really an absolutely lovely dog in every way, and until, as I say, he started to, as you might roughly put it, lose it.
No.
And he had been to obedience classes when he was a puppy. He was perfectly house trained. He was lovely with strangers and very protective of the children in the household when he was young. But when he was 10 years old, he started to change. He started, as his owners said, to daydream, losing the attention, inattentive, even when he was called.
Mm.
He used to be a good sleeper. He slept from about 11 o'clock at night till 7 o'clock in the morning, but then he began awakening the family in the middle of the night by pawing doors and barking intermittently for no reason.
Oh, I think a lot of people can relate to seeing some of that in
yeah.
their pets.
And he became irritable, and sometimes he'd actually go, and I hope I'm not offended you, he would pee on the refrigerator door, or as you would say, I think in America, the icebox door, or the oven door.
Yes, we do use the word refrigerator also.
Yeah, and then he did wandering. Now, on one occasion, he was found lying for a rest in the middle of a busy road.
Mm.
But the most unforgettable occasion was when he walked through the open doors of the church during the Sunday morning service, peed in the central aisle, and was preparing to curl up on the steps of the altar when a church officer grabbed him and threw him out.
Yeah.
Now, there was no physical reason for this. It was decided when the veterinarian examined him, and this was a classic serious case of cognitive dysfunction, brackets, canine Alzheimer's. So, a drug which is now available, called Selegiline, was prescribed. This is available now under your veterinarian's prescription. And Josh was given this, and at first nothing much happened, but after 2 weeks he began to change, and he changed impressively for the better.
Mm.
The old Josh reappeared. He no longer peed here and there. He didn't wander. He became again attentive again, and his obedience and his sleeping during the night without knocking people up returned. So, Selegiline is a great new treatment if your veterinarian thinks this is a good thing for any dog with cognitive dysfunction.
And on picture number 17, I have that the drug name, the selegiline hydrochloride.
Yeah.
So anyone can see that and ask their vet, well, you know, Dr. Taylor, this begs the question for me, is this a drug that can be used with humans with these kind of results?
Yes, it is used in Parkinson's disease in humans.
Ah, okay. Do we know at all with the canines or felines the cause of their Alzheimer's? I mean, I know with humans we still, you know, are trying to figure that out. Is there any further research that's letting us know why this is happening?
No. All we know is that the pathological changes in the brain of the dog with this canine cognitive dysfunction, canine Alzheimer's, we call it, are the same or similar, at least, to those that you see in the human brain with Alzheimer's. The same changes, the same degeneration of the brain cells.
Well, all right, we are going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk about what are some of the things that we as dog owners can do to help with our dogs when they're exhibiting some of these behaviors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more right after this.